I'm so glad that Jesus lives in me. I'm so glad that Jesus lives in me. I'm so glad that Jesus lives in me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lived in me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lived in me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lived in me. When I was in trouble, Jesus lived in me. Singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lived in me. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus lived in me. I'm so glad that Jesus lives in me. I'm so glad that Jesus lives in me. I'm singing glory, hallelujah, Jesus lives in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank the Lord for today. Hallelujah. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. Tonight is Wednesday night, and we're having Wednesday night Bible study for Cornerstone Deliverance Church. This is Apostle E.B. Wright standing in for Apostle Asia Hurd on tonight. Glory to God. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the call. I pray that you will be in participation with us on tonight as we go into the Word of God. But before we go a little bit further, we want to take the time to pray. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. Again, for today is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day that you have made. We thank you for our lives, our health, and our strength. We thank you for your love and kindnesses and tender mercies that you keep bestowing upon us each and every day. We thank you for taking us, hallelujah, throughout this day, keeping us covered in the blood of Jesus, for watching over us and protecting us, for leading us and guiding us, and showing us the way. We thank you for every opportunity that you gave us today. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, we magnify you. Hallelujah. For just being God, for being our way maker. Hallelujah. Our miracle worker, our heavy load bearer. We thank you for being our God. We pray that you will open up our eyes of understanding, O God, so that we can see you, see your word clearly, Father God. Open up our ears so we can hear your word clearly, Father God. Let us be on one accord, Father God, as we learn your word together. Let us be in unity and in strength. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bind up the hand of the evil one who has come to rob and kill and steal and to destroy. He is like a roaring lion going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. But we thank you for covering us in your blood. Hallelujah, for watching over your word to perform it in us in the mighty name of Jesus. And we still decree and declare Isaiah 54:17 over our lives, our health and our strength. No weapon that has been formed against us shall prosper. It shall not, and it will not work. We thank you for Cornerstone Deliverance Church, for Apostle Asia Hurd and Bishop Isaac Hurd, our leaders, our pastors, hallelujah, our overseers. We thank you, Father God, hallelujah, for just lifting them up where they belong. We pray that you will continue to strengthen them in the mighty name of Jesus and lead them and guide them and show them the way. Hallelujah. And they will continue, hallelujah, to give us the information that you give them. These things we do pray and ask in your holy name alone. And we call all these things done right now. Amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Bible study for tonight. This is Apostle Evie Wright, again, standing in for Apostle Hurd. Praise God. And we will be having Bible study on tonight. Hallelujah. I would like your participation. Amen. You guys know I don't just like to get on here and talk, but I want us to respond to each other. Amen. We're going to be talking about prayer on tonight and talking about the importance of prayer. So, in the name of Jesus, that's what we will be discussing tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Now, this is Apostle E.B. Wright. Who else is on the line with me?
Yes, Latasha is on the line tonight. God bless.
Good evening, Sister Latasha.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else on the line with us tonight? All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and get into the lesson. Again, we are talking about prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Prayer is a communication between us and God. That's my definition of prayer. And my definition is not the only definition. Sister Latasha, do you have anything to say about prayer? What prayer is?
Prayer for me is a communication between you and God.
Amen.
For me, that's what I would say.
Amen. Amen. All right. I believe that prayer is necessary. Since you said prayer is communication between us and God. We know that Jesus prayed. Amen.
Amen.
And if we're supposed to be followers of Jesus, then we ought to do some of the things that he did, follow his examples. And he prayed often. Even after his baptism, and he went into the wilderness, and the enemy tried to tempt him. And after he finished rejecting him, he went off to himself and he prayed. Amen. Sister Latasha, if you could you go with me to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7? And we're going to read some scriptures. We're not just going to talk.
I got to get my glasses.
Okay. All right. Hebrews 5 and 7.
Okay. You want me to start reading?
Yeah, so I tell you what. I want us to start at the first verse, okay? And this will give us a little more understanding about what is going on. I'll start, and then when we get to 7, I'll let you have it, okay?
Okay.
All right. It says, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins." And we know that's what the priest, high priest, used to do. People went to the high priest when they had committed sins or when they had done anything, and then he had to offer up a dove or a bull or something like that. And this was before Jesus was killed and died, okay? So, but verse 2 says, "Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, we ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." So Aaron, Moses' brother, was a high priest. Amen. Verse 5 says, "So also Christ glorified not in himself to be made an high priest, but he said that, but he said, girl, but he said, But he that said unto him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. As he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, now verse 7, woman of God.
Okay, it says, God had the power to save Jesus from death. And while Jesus was on earth, he begged God with loud crying and tears to save him. He truly worshiped God, and God listened to his prayers. Jesus is God's own son, but still, he had to suffer before he could learn what it really means to obey God. Suffering made Jesus perfect, and now he can save forever all who obeys him. This is because God chose him to be a high priest, like Melchizedek. Go
Don't
to the next one.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Warning against turning away. Much more could be said about this subject, but it is hard to explain. And all of you are slow to understand. By now, you should have been teachers. But once again, you need to be taught the simplest things about what God has said. You need milk instead of solid food. People who live on milk are like babies who don't really know what is right. Solid food is for mature people who have been trained to know right from wrong. We must try to become mature and start thinking about more than just the basic things we were taught about Christ. We shouldn't need to keep talking about why we ought to turn from deeds that bring death and why we ought to have faith in God. And we shouldn't need to keep teaching about baptism or about the laying on of hands or about people being raised from death in the future judgment. Let's grow up. If God is willing, but what about people who turn away after they have already seen the light and have received the gift from heaven and have shared in the Holy Spirit? What about those who turn away after they have received the good message of God and the powers of the future world? There's no way to bring them back. What they are doing is the same as nailing the Son of God to a cross and insulting him in public. A field is useful to farmers if there is enough rain to make good crops to grow.
That's good, Sister Latasha. That's good. We're just establishing the fact that Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, he had to pray. He
yes.
had to go before the Father. He had to be strengthened. So when we pray so that we can get, one of the reasons we pray is so that we can get stronger in the Lord. So we will not always be on milk, as the Word of God was saying. You know, sometimes you're going to have to go grow and get into maturity. That's why Jesus was always saying to the disciples, "Oh, ye of little faith." And he would say, "How long am I going to have to be with you?" Because, you know, he was like, "When are y'all going to get this?" You know what I'm saying? "When are you going to get it? I done showed you." Because they watched him. They seen what he did. But in some areas, they still doubted him. Amen. So, but Jesus, he prayed all the time. So since he prayed all the time, now then I believe he expects us to pray all the time. We don't necessarily have to pray as a group all the time, but we need to pray when we're by ourselves, you know. And I'm also saying prayer is having a conversation with God. It's just that easy for us to just tell him what we want, tell him what we need, tell him what we think. You know, and the word of God says, cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. So that's part of prayer, casting your cares, telling him what it is that you need, even though he know what we need. Like he says in this word, I already know what you have need of before you even ask. But in Matthew 7:7, he tell us, ask anyway.
Amen.
Amen. So there's one scripture that talks about when Jesus prayed, and that this scripture is in Luke 6:12.
Luke 6:12.
And it says, "In the well." Let me know when you have it before I start just reading.
You can go. Go ahead.
Okay. In those days, Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So that was him going to pray at night. Okay, let's discover another time that he went to pray. Just establishing the fact that Jesus went to pray. Jesus prayed.
Mm-hmm.
So if he prayed, we must pray.
Amen.
Jesus prayed in the morning. And let's see when this was. This is Mark 1:35.
Mark 1:35.
Mm-hmm. Mark 1:35.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, hold on 1 second. Good evening, Brother Darrell.
How you doing?
Blessed, highly favored, and loved of God. Welcome to the call. We're talking about prayer tonight and the importance of prayer.
All right. Thank you for catching me up.
You're welcome. And we were just getting ready to read in Mark 1. Verse 35.
All right. Go into that scripture now. Thank you.
Uh-huh. You're welcome. All right. So we've already read one scripture, which was Luke 6:12. Yeah, Luke 6:12 talked about Jesus going and praying. And praying all night. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and we have been saying that if Jesus prayed, we need to pray as well.
Amen.
Amen. We need, if we don't have a prayer life, we need to establish a prayer life. Okay? Have you got Mark 1:35 yet?
Yes.
Okay, Sister Latasha, you want to read that?
Verse 35, very early the next morning, Jesus got up and went to a place where he could be alone and pray.
Amen.
Verse 35, amen.
Early in the morning, before anybody else got up, he got up.
Yep.
Now, Brother Darrell, do you know
I'm going to ask your opinion. What do you think prayer is all about?
Prayer is all about having a connection and relationship to God.
Amen.
Prayer to me is a constant. It's ongoing building block to, in my opinion, only build a relationship with God, but also to get you to the kingdom of heaven and giving you answers to things that you can't find an answer for here, and God will give you the answer because you're talking to His Spirit. So within His Spirit, you're looking for answers, but if you tried to find them on your own through research, talking to people, and also it's a personal experience, I think, as well, on why things are the way they are. And again, whereas He cannot talk to us, like I'm talking to you right now, He will show you the answer. And also just giving thanks. So it's just about, relationships, giving thanks, and also to me to finding answers on where you can get them from nowhere else.
Amen. And guess what? We need to go talk to Him first before we try to get them from anywhere else.
Well, that's true too.
That you know, that's the problem. Sometimes we meet everybody else and ask their opinion before we go to God and ask Him what to do or what do you think, God? What would you suggest that I do? So sometimes we won't go to Him first. We make Him last. And He wants us to come to Him first because He has the answers. He has the answers. Amen. All right. So, establishing a prayer life. We have established that is important. So, Luke 6:12 says, Jesus went to pray in the evening, and He prayed all night long. Okay? So, it didn't matter to Him what time of day He prayed. When He felt the urge to pray, He prayed. Can you think of one other time that you know that Jesus prayed?
I'm just, you know, guessing. I'm not, you know, right or wrong. Again, please correct me. I know when He died on the cross, He prayed to God, and as, you know, Him being maliciously killed for wrong reasons, to forgive those here on earth for they not know what they do.
Okay, so before He died, He was in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, that's where He was at. And He did go and pray because the human side of Jesus decided maybe he didn't want to die for the sins of the world. And I'm so glad, even though He went and prayed a couple of times, that the cup would pass from Him, that finally He said, nevertheless, thy will be done.
Amen.
Amen. Because I don't know where in the world would we be if He had decided not to die for the sins of the world.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we understand that it is important to pray. So let's think of some reasons why it is important to pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, like I said, again, you need to build a relationship with God. You can't just build a relationship with man. You must build a relationship. If I had to pick one reason, building of a relationship. Just like if you want a relationship, you know, to marry someone, I feel it's the same concept,
mm-hmm.
you know. And when you build that personal relationship, it also builds, to me, your righteousness and character and your faith. So
all
relationship
right.
for two components, faith and personal relationship.
Okay.
You know, under relationship is a personal relationship and building block for faith.
Okay. Those are real good. Thank you for sharing that. Okay. Sister Tasha, you have anything to say?
Yes, I was going to say, one day I was reading the Bible, and I felt like when, I think when Jesus says, when, you know, when we pass away and we go before God in the throne, at his throne, when we're being judged, and when God says, okay, flee from me, I never knew you. Sometimes it was for me, I felt in my spirit that God was trying to say that, yeah, some people could say they were saved and they believed in God, but the main thing is by prayer. Prayer is what is the connection, the relationship, the intimacy. And I felt like God was trying to say, you know, when you pass away or whatever the case might be, he judges the person on, okay, did you ever pray to me? And that's his way of knowing you. But mm-hmm. he can identify with people if they never prayed to him or never had a relationship. So I Amen. Think the whole concept of him having that intimacy with you is through prayer, because people could say, like new believers, they could say, oh, well, I've done the sinner's prayer. Yeah, okay. But are you having a relationship, and your relationship is built on through prayer? So Amen. That's what I think why God is saying he identifies with us. He learns who we are. Well, he already know who we are, but mm-hmm. I think we solidify who we are by praying to him. So that's Amen. Why Amen. He said to some people, flee from me, I never knew you. So somebody mm-hmm. can, you know, God forbid, pass away and say, oh, well, I believed in you and I did this and that. But I this is just my opinion. I think he meant by he knows, he's familiar with people through their prayers. So that's Amen. What I wanted to say. I don't know if I explained it right, but I
you
think that's what
good,
I felt.
You did very Amen. Good. Because there's no right
great
or
job,
wrong.
Great answer. Job, great job.
Amen. No
great
right
job.
Or
Amen.
Wrong. Because, yeah, that's all we can do right now is give our opinion. Okay.
Right.
Now, one of the things that I heard was, and I'm reading, says, prayer is important because it is a form of service. When we get
yes.
saved, he's calling us into service. It's just like being in the Army, Navy, the
yes.
Marine. When you go in, you got to learn some stuff, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Because when you first go in, they're not just going to hand you a gun and say, hey, go
yeah.
do what you want to do.
You on your own. You got to figure it out.
So you're going to have to go through boot camp. You're going to have to be taught some things.
Yes.
So when we pray, we are humbling ourselves. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. We are humbling ourselves and asking God for his direction, and so that he can lead us and he can guide us and he can show us the way. Okay.
Yes.
So one of the things it says, it says, defined as the action of helping or doing work for someone, a system supplying a public need, or to perform routine maintenance or repair or something to work on. So we got problems. If we go and pray, then that's opening up a door for us. Amen?
Amen.
He said, what did I say earlier? He said, cast your care upon me, for I care for you. That's our job. If we ain't supposed to just sit there and be in pain and be in agony and be in fear. He said, don't hold on to that stuff. Give it to me.
Amen. Amen.
You can handle it, but I can't. See, he was built for the job.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Why did he come? Amen. Why did he come for it in the first place?
That's right. To carry the load.
To carry the load. To sacrifice his life for humanity so that we could be saved. Because we were going to hell.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, if it had not been for Jesus, like I said earlier, where in the world would we be?
Amen.
So let's go to Philippians chapter 2.
Philippians chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
14:28, chapter 2. Okay.
And we're going to, start at verse 3. We're going to read verses 3 and 4.
Okay. You want me to read it?
Well, let's
see.
Brother Darryl
Golden.
Brother Darryl, are you able to read? Okay, woman of God, I can't hear her. So you go ahead, please.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you said Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4?
Yes, yes, sir.
Okay, on it. Okay, I'm ready.
Go ahead, all sir. Right.
Okay, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Amen. Now, which version, which Bible version are you reading?
King James Version.
Okay, now I'm going to read the NIV. Same scriptures, okay?
Okay, all right, no problem.
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. So he don't want us to do things for self.
Amen.
We're supposed to help one another. We're supposed to encourage one another. You know what I'm saying? That's what he's saying. And you know, we got people that will do things because they want to be seen. They want to be heard. And the word conceit, they are conceited. But he don't want us to be like that. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, I'm sorry.
No, I was saying he wants us all to be humble because
yeah.
I was reading a verse and he said something about why do people think they're proud? I guess I'm just using my own words because they have things and I'm the reason why they have it. So what makes them think, you know, that they should be arrogant when I'm the one who gave it to them. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's another thing to look at, you know, just being humble.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 44.
Matthew chapter what?
Five. 5:44.
I have it, but you know, if you want to have to read, that's fine.
You go ahead and read it.
You sure you don't want to read?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Matthew chapter 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
That's deep.
Yes, I felt the same way. Not to take over, you know, you teach. I just want to say this quickly. You know, it doesn't take much for us as Christians to lose it, to
mm-hmm.
get upset. You know, everybody has a tolerance level on what they're going to take and not take.
Right.
And it really is hard to walk in peace. It really is. Man, you know, again, you know, me and my brother were talking today, you know, when you do certain jobs, whether it be in sports or could be at the factory or could be in an office, there's so many different type of personalities, so
yeah.
many ways they say things and do things. But the one thing
right.
that we have to do what God would do and walk in peace.
Amen.
You know, everybody is trying to meet a deadline. Everybody's trying to, and I can tell you, you know, when you walk away and you just be like, okay, that's an argument statement, but I'm not going to touch that. You know,
mm-hmm.
just this week, something was done to me in my little seasonal job again, and I know it was done based on me on my past, not what I'm doing now. And I got there, he wanted, you know, us to be at the site 45 minutes prior. I got there 30 minutes prior, and I wasn't on the schedule the next week. Now, I wanted to say something. Lord knows I did. I even wanted to go on social media and say something. But I said, you know what? I'm not going to say nothing. Right, right. And I don't mind you saying that, but that's what people do now. You know,
yeah.
they'll say something without calling the name. But I said, you
right.
know what? I'm going to let it go.
That's
because
it.
I'm no better than him. Him doing something I know he did nasty to me, and now I'm going to get back at him. It's going to make it worse. So the best way to handle it is just leave it alone. I let God calm my spirit, and I move forward. So
mm-hmm.
I just wanted to share that with the group as an example that some things are just not worth the trouble.
It's not.
Yeah. And trust me, God will fix it. He will fix
yes,
it.
He will.
If you know
he
your
will.
Life's done wrong, let him handle it, not you.
That's
and that's
right.
what I'm doing now.
And that's what he
It ain't doing. Easy, but, you know, if I want to get to heaven, that's what I have to do. Because these people
you,
will try you.
Yeah. Well, it's not the people, though. That's the one thing we're going to have to learn.
It's the enemy.
It's the enemy using
the people. Yes.
And so,
right. If I was late to the time of the game getting started, I don't have a problem with them laying me out or what. Well, I didn't say laying me out, but sounded wrong as that. But that wasn't the case. So now I still have to, you know, send communications ahead of time to the person that assigns me to say, hey, this is going on, approve it. For drama, get back to them. You know, everybody likes drama now. So I mean to cut you off, but I'm just saying, yeah, you're right, it's the enemy. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You said everybody likes drama.
Well, that's what that, I mean, that's what TV programs have. These nothing but arguing.
Yeah.
It's arguing.
That's true.
There's no
that's
life
true.
To keep arguing.
That's true. That's true.
Just unhappy
okay.
people.
Yeah, but why are they unhappy, Brother Daryl? They are unhappy because the enemy is using them. You see, and if we let him, he'll use us.
Yeah,
but
true.
We got to be wise. You were wise. Okay?
Thank you.
Let's go to Ephesians 6 and 12.
All right, I'm there. Just letting you know I'm there.
Okay. Sister Latasha, you there?
Not yet.
Okay.
Y'all can go ahead.
I'm a little fast with this Bible app. You can just touch it and go over and flip the pages.
Well, yes, that's really good. Go ahead and read it.
Well, I would say if you're going to enjoy it, go all the way, you know. Okay. Want me to wait till she gets it?
No. What's Ephesians what? Four?
Chapter 6, verse 12.
Okay. That you want me to go, Darryl, or you want to go? It's up to you.
Oh, you go ahead, and then I can get the next one. I don't know if other people on the line besides us three, but, you know, I don't mind sharing.
Okay, chapter, you said verse 6, chapter 6, verse 12?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, we are not fighting against humans. We are fighting against forces and authorities and against rulers of darkness and powers in the spiritual world. So put on all the armor that God gives. Then when that evil day comes, you will be able to defend yourself. And when the battle is over, you will still be standing firm.
Amen. So we're not fighting against flesh and blood. The enemy is going to get in anybody that he can. And so these people that think they have rule over us, even though we say ourselves, God, you don't even know me.
Amen. That's the first thing we say, yes, ma'am.
But God. But see, that's why it behooves us to what? Pray. That's one of the reasons why we pray. We don't just pray right at, I'm glad you pray it when the situation happens, but if we will learn to pray ahead of schedule, if we would pray every day, not just one day.
Yeah, every day.
Every day. The Lord wants us to take time for Him. Like, when you first get up in the morning, and I'm not just saying it because I do that in the morning, but I'm just saying, why not pray early in the morning before you start the day and ask Him to lead you and to guide you?
Amen.
So when we're being tempted by the devil, see, we don't want to get out there and just get out there and just go to work, and then all of a sudden something come up on us. But did you take time to pray today? Have you talked to Daddy God today?
Amen.
No. So we have to have us a prayer life, not just when we're on the phone with each other.
Amen.
This is
amen.
Taking time, like you were talking about earlier, Brother Darryl, building our relationship with God, getting stronger and stronger. It's like when you start a job and they say no experience necessary, because they don't teach you what to do.
Right.
But if you go and you get started, now you might be slow the first 2 weeks, right? They give you 30
Amen.
Days to learn the job. So you
Amen.
Got 30 days to learn it, okay?
Right.
But after you learn the job, okay, you're not supposed to slack off.
No.
Right.
Got to keep on doing what you did to get you to that point so you could go to the next level. And so when the Lord is, that's why He wants us to pray. He wants to mature us.
Amen.
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 Amen. That's why Amen. He said, when you have done all you can do to stand therefore. But going back to Ephesians 6, let's go to start at 6 and 10. Now, we all know that one by heart because, you know, we say it a lot.
Try to please them at all times.
Ephesians 6, he was already in there, but let's start at the 10th verse.
Okay, I see it. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Darryl Golden.
All right, thank you. This must be us three tonight, but that's okay. We're still going to have a great time in the Lord.
Amen.
Verse 10 in Ephesians 6 chapter. Finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's the King James Version.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
Okay, keep on going. Mm-hmm. Okay. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
So putting on the whole armor. Only way you're going to be able to put on the whole armor, you're going to have to pray. Yes.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. So when you first get up and get dressed to go out and start your day, you can't get up and just go out there in your birthday suit.
Amen.
What you got to do?
Pray. Be armored up.
Pray.
Armed up.
But in the natural, what do you have to do? If you can't go in your birthday suit, what you got to put on?
Clothes.
So the armor of God is our spiritual clothes. So we have to pray before we go out that door.
Amen. All day.
Take 10 or 15 minutes. Talk to Daddy God. If he don't let us sleep for 4 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours through the night, can we give him some time?
Amen.
Amen.
And he's not asking for much. That's why I say 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes. You know, pray, read a scripture.
Amen.
Give him some time. That's why I'm glad I'm here on Wednesdays, because, you know I need to do more, but again, you have to do something, I mean, for him to show up. And, you know, I also compare God, you know, not to talk about anything negative, but, you know, you take these people that are devil worshippers, because just like we're here tonight, there's some people worshiping him, and they got a Bible. You know, we're dealing with spirits. If we're dealing with spirits, we want the right spirit around us. So my point is, I'm not doing that, by the way, with the devil. I'm just giving an example of how if we're going to win the war out here spiritually with God, mm-hmm. we have to have relationships, not just come in on Wednesday, but, you know, Sunday going to church as well as, like you said, prayer. But prayer is definitely the key. I agree
mm-hmm.
with you.
Mm-hmm.
And also, not to bring in other religions, nothing against them. Everybody's right to serve what they want to serve. I notice, I think it's the Muslims. Now, you talk about prayer. You know, I guess they get on their knees and they pray. You know, they do the same thing, like just starting their day. They actually have places where you can pray and go in there, and then you go on about your business. So, you know, I'm sure churches, you know, of the Baptists have that too, but my point is, yeah, I mean, you know, prayer is the key.
Prayer is the key. So look, back in the day, who was it that was in the Bible that prayed three times a day?
Was it Moses?
Mm-hmm.
Or John?
Mm-mm. It wasn't in the New Testament, men and women of God. It was in the Old Testament. And he prayed three times.
Dave, was it Daniel?
Uh-huh.
Daniel.
He
was a prayer warrior. Yes, he prayed three times a day.
Uh-huh. And the scripture also says that David.
Okay.
Three times a day. He prayed evening and morning and noon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
Amen. In
Psalms 55 and 17, let's look at that.
Psalms 55 and what?
17.
55 and 17. Okay, 55, 17. Okay, here it is. 55 and 17, okay. 15, 16, 17. Morning, noon, and night, you hear my concerns and my complaints. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that was David doing the talking. Now let's go to Daniel 6, chapter 6 and verse 10. Daniel.
Okay, chapter.
Brother Darryl, are you still with us?
Yes, ma'am. I have it, Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let me wait till she finds it.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, I do have it. I'll just wait till she gets it, too.
Yeah, I got it. Chapter 10,
okay.
Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime.
Amen. He prayed 3 times a day. And it alluded to the fact that he knew there was a decree, because people went and told on him that after the king had decreed nobody could do any praying unless they prayed to whatever they God was. But somebody got upset and say, Daniel be over there praying. And so that's why the king went and got him and threw him in the lion's den.
Oh,
and
okay. Because
the king signed the decree, and he didn't even realize, because he was so friendly with David, but after you signed it back in those days, you couldn't reverse it or change it.
Okay.
Oh, so there were no amendments back then on anything politically. Get out of here.
Yeah, once you signed it, that's like the lock and key. You locked in.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
That's why they say today, be careful what you sign.
Well, amen.
Amen.
Read the fine print, okay? Okay, so that we can get a little more understanding out of that, Daniel 6, Brother Darryl, go to chapter 6 again and start at verse 1, okay? And let's read it down.
Okay, start at 1, and where do you want me to stop at?
Oh, just keep going until I tell you to stop.
All right, that's fine. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom and 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree.
5 homeworks missing.
Keep going, man of God.
Okay.
Keep going.
Now, okay, thank you. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, and he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed the decree? to every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. The king answered and said, the king is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which alters not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said to the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and placed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music
brought before him. Stop right there. Stop right there. Now, what did the king do?
The king went into his palace and passed the night fasting.
He passed the night fasting for Daniel. So these guys tricked the king.
Yeah.
They already knew that Daniel prayed three times a day.
Yes.
So they manipulated the king and got the king to sign this this decree so that they could get rid of Daniel. Because early on in the scriptures we read where they say they couldn't find no fault in him. They were trying to get rid of him.
Right.
But after the king understood what they had done and he could not reverse it, he felt sorry for Daniel. He was upset. So he went and fasted. So when you fasted, evidently he was also praying.
Yes.
That the lions would not kill Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But in that 24th verse, I'm going to read that one. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. See, now they in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Lord did not allow Daniel to be ate up by those lions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now he realized that those guys were setting him up. So now he has them thrown into the lion's den, and they were eaten up. So the trap they set for Daniel, it was the trap they fell in themselves.
Ooh, my goodness.
Oh, okay.
So that's why the Lord is saying that we will be quiet.
Yeah.
And let him fight our battle. So we try to fix it, we're going to make it worse.
Yeah.
But if we talk to him, if we cast our cares on him, if we give it to him, he will fix it, and we're going to be okay.
Amen.
And it ain't nothing frustrated and aggravated. Give it to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So prayer is essential. Prayer is a necessary element of our life. Prayer will help us to grow and get stronger and stronger in the Lord.
Amen.
And not only are we just praying for ourselves, but we need to take the time to pray for our children, our husbands, our wives, our mothers, our fathers, our sisters, you know, everybody, you know, just our siblings, whoever they are, even the people that you work for.
Amen.
Your
neighbor.
Amen. The one I keep reading. The ones that are misusing you and abusing you and thinking they're getting away. not getting away.
Amen.
God got you.
Amen. Amen. He went every time.
Amen. He got you. So we just need to be mindful that what we need to do is get before the Lord.
Yes. I wanted to just say one thing, too, with Mr. Darryl Golden was talking about prayer as well. I feel like prayer is an excellent way that God teaches us how not to be selfish. Because the more you're taking time out of your day, you know, to worship God, and he looks at that, he honors that. Because sometimes, this is what I've noticed for myself, you know, sometimes you get so caught up in just whatever you feel that you think that's important. But sometimes God wants you to see that the more you pray, you're showing God that, you know, that he's important, that you're not being selfish. You're not so caught up in what you need to do, or you're worrying about your friends or your children or whoever, that when you take time out and pray, it's teaching you humility and to be not to be selfish. You know, not always, even in prayer, yeah, you can pray and you praying for yourself and your family, but sometimes it's good to pray for other. All the time it's good to pray for others, you know, because God is looking at your heart. You know, sometimes, you know, it's really not all about me or my kids or my family, or it's really about other people, because God, you know, yourself as well. But I think God really honors, you know, both ways. But when you take upon yourself to pray for other people, it's so important, because it's a form of that you're showing God that you have humility and you're not selfish.
Amen.
So I think that's very important.
It is, and it actually goes back to that first scripture that we read. Amen. Excuse me.
Right. I also want to add, you know, quickly, and this has personally happened to me, you know, again, you know, I'm just inclining, I mean, with what we have talked about with prayer. You know, like Sister Tasha, it really isn't easy to pray when you know somebody has done you wrong.
Yeah.
It really isn't. Especially, you know, I'm not getting who right or wrong, but you know what's righteously in your spirit. God has told you you've done correctly, and he showed you you've been wrong. So, you know, that also will take us to another level. Yeah, again, we instinctively want to do something about it or say something about it. So what we got to do is be bigger and let God in. Yeah, he knows it was wrong. He knows you were wrong. He knows you know it. So what's wrong is... You know?
Right. I don't want to cut you off, but I think I think also that's what he means by we need to grow up in meat. You know, we need to get rid of the milk and have meat, because when you get to a certain level in your mentality or in your perception, yeah, you know, the flesh is always quick to want to get back and prove yourself and speak on what and who did what, and you know, but when you mature and meet with God, you know, in that maturity, it's like certain things, you done been through it, you done it, you know the results, like it just comes to a point, you're not even worth my energy or even a response. So that's
exactly
the point where God is waiting for people to get at. Because at the end of the day, it's like a cycle. I mean, you don't want to keep repeating the same cycle over and over, because, you know, by you saying something back, you know, it's going to create more of a problem. So when you walk away or you just mature in a higher level, it just shows that, hey, I'm not giving my energy to nonsense. Because God is looking at your response. And when you respond in that way, other people might feel like, wow, I learned something new from this person. This person don't even feel no kind of way, or I didn't get him out of his character, or I didn't, you know, he's not defending himself or explaining. You walk away, because then you show the person, I'm better than that. because I'm not going to waste my time or my energy to prove that you wrong. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Right, you know, I agree. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
It
no matter how much we want to. And, you
right.
know, I will say this
matter.
From a person that I've had some people in the church that, you know, you reached out to them, they felt some type mm-hmm. of way. I know how to do it, and these people are leaders of church, and it really hurts when that happens, when they do it, and you know them. But, you know, also, that's another example. We got to let that go.
Got to let it go, brother.
It.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. We know how to get in there. Let me share one more scripture with you guys. Sister Latasha, stop laughing. You're making me laugh.
I'm laughing because I know how he feels, but it just becomes
yeah.
to a point where I know how you feel, but you know what it is, Mr. Golden.
Yeah,
God
uh-huh.
is looking at you to be a better, a bigger person. You know, sometimes
okay.
you just want to say, well, you know, you did this and I don't appreciate it. God is waiting for you to rise and say, you know what, I take that. You know, like a boxer. You get beat up and punched and uppercut and hit.
Right.
You know, you got to be able to take that and keep it moving because sometimes
right.
the response is not even, it's not even worth. God is looking at how you handle it, how you able to take a punch and keep it moving. Because
amen.
Every time somebody hits you and punch you, you got to always say, well, did you do this to me or why? Or I don't like this. Sometimes you just got to take the hit and keep it moving without even explaining
right.
or giving even an example. So that's where I just think that's what I've learned, you know, from my own experience that I feel that God is, he's matured me too, where, you know, they say, well, all you doing is complaining and you talking about the same thing all the time. And with maturity, you just learn to keep it moving, you know, because everybody going to do
right.
things that we don't like, whether it's
that's
jobs,
right.
families, mothers, grandmothers. It's all going to be the same thing. It's either in your relationship, your wife hurt you or your husband did something or
right.
you don't like. You don't want to keep responding to the same thing because sometimes it's just good to just say, you know what, I take that. God, you know what you
right.
say, God, did you see that? You say, God, now did you see
and he
that?
Does see it. He does see
yeah.
it. He'll
did
see
you
it.
Just
and
see
he will
that?
Deal.
And now you don't want me to say nothing, but then I always look at it. He's winking at you. When you keep it moving, he's saying, I say in my mind, he's saying, I like the way you handle that. You see, at the end of the day, it's either you're going to let the person have more power over you or you're going to learn to rise up like a champion. And at the end of the day, you got to keep it moving. That's it.
That's good.
I agree.
That's it.
That's
good.
That's it.
If we remember in Matthew, the 6th chapter, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray.
Yes.
After he taught them how to pray, one of the last thing he said was forgive.
Yes.
Because if you do not forgive,
I won't forgive you.
Amen.
Your heavenly Father will not forgive you. One scripture, and then we're gonna get ready to go. I'm not gonna try to keep y'all all night long. But
no, you are. Yep.
Psalms 120, verse 1.
Psalms 120. Mm-hmm.
You said Psalms 120, verse 1?
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Okay. Psalms 120. Okay. You said verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm there. Well, you want me to read it? Okay, yeah, she read the last one. Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay,
please.
I'm ready. Okay, Psalms 120, verse 1. It says a song of degrees. Verse 1. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me.
Amen.
In my distress, so when I was aggravated, I was mad, somebody done just really, woo. But I cried to the Lord. And he heard me. So we know he hears us when we pray. Amen?
Amen.
So that ought to stop us. If, and, you know, the scriptures say anger, yes, but sin not. So he know you're going to get angry. He know you're going to get aggravated. But he don't want us to get ugly with it. Amen?
Right.
Put your own self in time out.
Amen, amen.
I mean, for real. You sometimes, like you said, you just have to walk away.
Yeah, that's the maturity part of it, too.
Right. And
there
verse 2
is
also.
That's the maturity part of it.
That's
right.
Where that come
you
in
know
at.
That God got it. And if he got it, if you try to go in there and fix it, you're going to mess it up.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's going to be worse.
Right, because we want to get the last word, and we want to, and, you know, it's not always the way to be. And what I've noticed, see, deceivers God will deal with too. See, that's a lot of scammers out there trying to scam, but deceivers come in all shapes, sizes, and colors from the church, not just the person trying to say something fake or doing these scam calls trying to get your money or steal your credit card or lie and say the police coming or if you don't pay this bill. It's just you have to, he will deal with them. You just, you know, like, man, I just hang the phone up and just, I don't even get mad no more, because that's the devil when you're getting mad.
I block them. Yeah.
I don't give a reaction to it. I agree with you. Don't give it no reaction. You're doing the right thing.
Give it to the Lord. See,
verse 2 says, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I
was going to say also, too, what Daryl Goldman was saying, you know, it's so much deceit, but at the end of the day, remember, we're only human and we're living in this world, so it's always so chaotic. You don't know what you're going to deal with, you know, especially, you know, whether it's family or whatever. But I think that's why God gave us his peace, because it's all about,
amen,
are you going to keep your peace in all situations, you know, or are you just going to be ready to just give up your peace to just any and everybody that come with drama and mess. So
amen.
You have to learn to kind of stay peaceful and, you know, keep your composure and keep your own power by, you know, whatever a person do to you, it doesn't matter, because you're not going to get any response to me. I'm not going to get out of my lane or get angry or get back at you or get mad. And, you know, so you have to find that place within you. So it doesn't matter whether the rain is pouring, if it's snowing, I'm going to keep my composure, you know. And I think that's what God was saying, because if not, if you have no control, you could lose everything. And a lot of times it's a test and it ain't even worth it. I'm telling you.
That's exactly what it is.
Amen.
It's a test and it's not worth it. Okay,
right.
Last time, we're going to stop talking. Go to James chapter 1, verse 2.
James.
This is a good study today, James.
Right, I'm there.
Go ahead.
James chapter 4, verse 2.
James chapter 1.
Verse 2. James, I got it. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations.
Keep going.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Stop.
Let the brother, okay.
Okay. The whole point, he is saying, my brethren, count it all joy. So the part that we don't want to get ready for is we're supposed to have trials and tribulations.
Right.
The Lord told us we were going to have trials and tribulations, but he said, don't worry about it because I have overcome the world. But
Amen.
We can get that to us. Okay? So, but if we would pray and seek his face, and so while we're praying and seeking his face and learning the word of God, we can build up our faith in him. So here in chapter 1, verse 2, he said, y'all count it all joy when you go through these trials and tribulations.
Amen.
Knowing that this is building up your faith and also helping you to work with patience. It's giving you patience.
Amen.
That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So count it all joy. Don't get mad. Don't keep getting mad. Give it up. Just say, oh,
Amen.
Man, go on, have it. It's all right. God bless you. It ain't nothing. Okay. Like good sister Tasha said, it ain't even worth it. Now, you good? You know what I'm saying? You good? That's okay? I was trying to help somebody this evening, and they said, I don't want to talk about it. And I said, okay. I let it go. This person sent me a text and say, I'm sorry. I said, no problem. Okay. I cut it out. I wasn't even for the debate about it. You said
Amen.
What you said, so I got to let it go. It's not worth it. I said, anyway, I got to get ready for Bible study. That's what the devil likes to do. He likes to get you caught up in stuff.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We don't have time for that. Got more important stuff you got to do.
That's right. Amen.
The main thing that I wanted us to get established tonight was making sure that we have a prayer life, a consistent prayer life.
Amen.
Amen. Because the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when you pray out loud if you're at home
Amen.
By yourself, okay? So when you pray,
Amen.
You pray out loud, then you're hearing what you're saying. When you read the Bible, read it out loud, you're hearing the word of God.
Yes.
Amen.
So it's being put into your thought pattern. You will remember what you hear.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
See? And if you consistently do it, you'll get so strong in the Lord that when another trial comes, you say, oh, no, I see who you are, devil. No, I ain't going out like that. The Satan and the Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Not to cut you off quickly, but that's why when I go certain places, I be careful what I say because you know what triggers people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're in a time where more killing than ever.
You know,
you could go to a restaurant or a bar and grill and just there's so much going on there, you just have to say, hey, God, be with me. And then, you know, put me in safe places, people. And he will. He's done it for me.
Yes, he will.
And he also
will
tell you not to go certain places.
Yes,
see,
he will.
That's right. And he said, don't go. So, you know, just things that we have to realize in these times in of insurrection and now more than ever people are politically charged that we have to really lean on God and not be deceived. And prayer will do that.
Amen. That's right. We do have to lean on God. Okay, guys, we're going to get ready to get off. Who wants to give us prayer before we get off the line?
Let's go with Daryl Golden.
Okay. Hey, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. No problem. Nothing wrong. Working me in the group night, Sister Tasha. I have no problem with that. I'm going to start. Okay, Father God, I just want to thank those who are on the line tonight. Even though we were short with numbers of people on the line, your spirit was great and ever present, and studying the Bible and the Word this evening on the topic of what our spiritual leader had tonight on the reasons for prayer. I just thank God that with those of him tonight, again, us three, that we were able to not only be strong in your word, learn your word, disseminate your word, which would be a building block for the rest of the week and also into our lives. I just thank you, Lord, for getting me here tonight, not letting things in this house need to be done overpower me and say stop and spend time with God. You know, I just thank God. If anybody else had that situation, that they took the time to be here. Because each time we come here, Lord, we truly will grow. We truly will feel your power. And God, I just ask that you guide each of us and those that are not here, that wanted to be here but just couldn't get here, that you touch them. Show them the way. Show them what they're missing. Show them that when they build a prayer relationship with you, when they build a relationship with you, period, that you will show up, you will show out, and you will show your power on how you will acknowledge the ways of knowing your commandments, the ways of your world. Oh, Father, I just thank you for getting me here tonight and sharing with the group, because though we may be small in number, we were great in your power. For these
amen.
Prayers that I ask and say in your name, I pray, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, man of God. Amen.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
All right. I really do appreciate you guys being on the line with me tonight. Hallelujah. So, what I say unto one, I say unto all, continue to watch, fight, pray, and fast. Amen. In Jesus' mighty name. And may you have a wonderful week. All week long. May the Lord continue to watch over you, carry you, and encourage you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen
amen. Amen. What is your name again? I'll keep forgetting when you leave. Before you leave,
Apostle,
get your name again.
Apostle E.B. Wright.
Okay, E.B. Wright. Yeah, thank you, E.B. Wright. Yeah, definitely enjoyed it. You always do a great job.
Thank you, man.
No problem.
God bless you. All right, God bless you.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good week. Agape love, Sister Natasha.
Agape love, everybody.
All right, good night.